You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, a home renovation will kill your relationship. Unless you listen to our guest in 15 minutes, prenups for everybody. Yay! When it comes to heroin, ladies, you are the fastest growing category of strung out horse heads. And you call this a vacation? Our travel guy is lost. Let's meet the friends. He'll be the first to admit it. He's spaced out. He's out in space, ping-ponging from star to planet. It's Gonzo Greg Spillane.
Hey, Phil, you know your friend that you never visit because they live way out of town and they're kind of weird looking and recently got demoted? Yeah, we're going to talk about him coming up.
Joining us for the first time is the host of Breakfast with Gary and Kelly, heard on KSBR in Southern California, Kelly Bennett.
Thank you, Phil, and I've got something for you. Do not, well, you might want to look at your tap water. Next time you take that little sip, I don't know. What I've got will totally surprise you.
All right. You're helping the show, by the way. If you subscribe and leave a little five-star review on iTunes, we thank you for that. The folks over at iTunes read your comments. They notice your five-star reviews. Subscribe. Thank you very much. And you can do that at our website as well, philhewlettandfriends.com. Let's get started. Greg, if I had one friend, I would say, fine, okay, you've been demoted. Let's sit down and pop open a can of beer and talk about it. But who are you talking about?
You're so far out of town. You live 3 billion miles from Earth. How excited are we about Pluto? Oh, my God. Yeah. I can hardly contain my excitement.
Well, those photos are awesome, though, aren't they?
It's the ugliest planet I've ever seen. Of all the planets, ugly. Ugly planet.
That big white splotch on there. People are coming up with all kinds of things. I think they look like Bigfoot's, the soles of his feet. He's taking a nap, and you're just looking at his feet. His legs are crossed, and he's
sleeping.
Somebody
said it looks like a heart, and some people says it looks like the cartoon character Pluto, right? I mean, it's an ugly ass. Here's my problems with Pluto, okay?
Yeah, what problems?
It's really cold there, okay? It's really far away from everything, and the bars close at 1 a.m. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Minneapolis. My fault. I'm sorry. I'm way off track. So, yeah, the probe is out there 3 billion miles from Earth. There's a great clip. I think it's on the NASA website when they get, like, one of the first photos back, and they literally, it's like they're watching fireworks. They go, ooh.
Yeah, right.
It's round.
Look, it's a planet. It's round. Ooh.
But you know what? The Google Sky app has a pretty good photo of Pluto already. And the Google Earth app
already
has a pretty good photo of Pluto. I mean, before they got the actual photos, they already had photos, didn't they?
Well, here's the thing.
They're artist renderings, I think.
Well, the NASA guy said, quote, "This is a very alien world that we're visiting." We're not visiting. We're driving by at 11 billion miles an hour. If I drove across the country and I drove by my friend in Austin and didn't want to stop in Austin because there's too many weird bearded hipsters, and I just drove by, I did not visit.
No.
I drove by. I might have hung my camera out the window and went, ha, look at that, there's Austin. I didn't stop there, but we're not visiting.
But those Austin, those NASA guys are the guys who say, oh, yeah, sure, I've been to Austin.
I've been to Pluto.
Yeah.
So there's a big thing on Discovery Channel tonight if you want to watch all the pictures come in, I guess, if you want.
In my lifetime, we will not be putting humans on Pluto.
Probably not. It's like watching downloads from the early days of the internet in like 1990 when you're at like 48K.
Yeah.
And they could come in one line at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about that $3 billion price tag?
Yeah.
Is it $3 billion?
Yes, sir.
That's $1 billion a mile, right?
Yeah,
there.
You know, talking about an alien place that they're visiting, I think the aliens are just laughing so hard because, wait a minute, it took you how long to get there?
And
it
9 years.
Cost you how much to get? What is this
and
stuff?
I can't get reception in my apartment.
Yeah, right.
Your cell phone still doesn't work.
Yeah, no.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Obama.
On Pluto, are there any drunk girls?
I would assume there must be because they seem to be everywhere and they seem to ruin everything, right? Well, here, random example. Karaoke night. right?
Yeah.
You might like the song before you heard Susie from Accounting sing it.
Yeah.
Sure, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you bring her home and she throws up in your car, or better yet, out the window and leaves a permanent stain on the side of your car.
Yeah.
Same thing. Now, in Scotland, a Scottish pub renowned for its traditional atmosphere has been ruined because the waiters there wear traditional Scottish garb, a kilt. Oh. And what happens is these drunk girls come in and want to check and see if their waiter is a true Scotsman and reach up under there. And,
uh-oh.
Exactly.
Pocket pull, maybe?
That's a little so well. Clown horn noise that happens. Ladies,
that,
in case you didn't know.
That actually happens. Yeah, that's what's under a kilt, actually, is there's a little clown horn under there. So now, yeah, they no longer wear kilts, and they now have to wear pants.
Oh.
Because of...
The party's over.
Thanks, drunk girls.
Oh.
Now the drunk girls are going to complain about the guys with the pee spots on their pants. Because that wasn't happening with the kilts, right?
Well, they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop by ruining Bohemian Rhapsody. No, they had to make it so that the
but do they play the bagpipes?
No, there's a play on words in there somewhere.
Is that code? You're using code, aren't you, young
yeah,
lady?
Right.
Sorry.
Stop it, Kelly. You've only just begun here, and you're already trying to ruin the show like a drunk girl.
Oh. I'm sorry, Phil.
Now, we lost somebody very important to Americana.
Oh, a great American. Ladies and gentlemen, please take a moment and remember and give thanks to Donald Featherstone.
Mm. Who?
Who left this earth at the age of 79 last week. Donald Featherstone, his contribution to the world, the ultimate symbol of American lawn kitsch.
Oh.
The pink lawn flamingo. The plastic flamingo?
That's him?
Yeah, the pink flamingo guy, inventor of the pink flamingo, Donald Featherstone, has left the planet.
That's amazing. How many people, I mean, how many times have you seen that pink flamingo in somebody's front yard?
Everywhere. I had one when I lived in Long Beach.
They even have blow-up ones.
Yes, but that's not nearly as interesting because yeah, the blow-up ones are just going to fly away when the big wind kicks up. But what happens with the regular pink flamingo is, you know, they've got one leg flamingo bent, mm-hmm, right? And the other is a piece of steel that goes into the grass. Now, rarely do you ever see one that's straight up. They're always leaning to one side or the other. And that's what's special about them, don't you think?
It's the drunk girls.
Yeah, they sold millions of them. The guy was a trained sculptor. He had classical art background, and he created it in 1957 for Union Products, a plastics company, and he worked there for 43 years.
Uh-huh.
He invented, I guess, hundreds of other products, but you know, we'll always remember him, thankfully, for the...
Yeah, he probably invented some really highly useful things that we couldn't
right,
live without.
Right.
But he's
no
remembered for the flamingo.
The flamingo, and... Yeah. We probably shouldn't bring up the movie Pink Flamingos because that's going to take us down the wrong road.
It will.
In a great rate of speed.
Exactly. All right, Greg. Yeah, the next time you pour a tall, milky glass of tap water and raise it to your lips, your fertility may be in jeopardy, and we'll explain why when we return. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, we're back, and welcome to the front end of the first hour. See how we did that? We're back in front at the same time. You know how Tom Cruise does a lot of his own TV stunts?
And is not gay.
Right.
Right.
He will, I don't know, he's never insisted that. He just took the idea that somebody would say it publicly to court and won somehow. In his latest movie, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, you know when they show the trailer or the commercials on TV and he's hanging off of the wing of that airplane? He actually did that stunt. That's him, hanging off a plane.
All 5 foot five of him?
Moments away from death.
Oh my God.
I mean, here's the insane part about it. He didn't nail it on the first take. They had to do that scene 8 times.
See? Now he's just wasting everybody's time and money. If they used a stuntman, he would have nailed it and had been done. They could have gone home for the day. But no, everybody's hanging out at craft services while Tom Cruise hanging off the side of a plane.
Right, yeah. There's a behind-the-scenes video where Tom admits he didn't sleep the night before the stunt, and when it came time to do it, he was, quote, scared S-less.
Aww,
he had no S's left in his person.
Would you do that if you were an actor? Would you have some compulsion to do your own stunts?
Some of them, yes, but...
Well, what's the... I mean, unless it was fun, but that doesn't seem very fun.
I think if I were younger, but a man of his age, what is he, pushing 50? Is he over 50? What is he?
He's pushing 50, I
pushing
believe.
50. Yeah.
I would, he's in the 40s.
I think at this point...
He's 15, I'd probably think about it, but not 40.
Doesn't he have a... He's got a kid, right, named Siri?
Uh-huh.
Isn't his kid's name Siri?
Yes. Yeah,
she lives on my phone, I think. Yeah.
In fact, try this with your iPhone there, Greg. If you have Apple Music and you ask Siri to, quote, play loud farts.
Do I have to be in the music?
I don't know. As long as you have that app, you don't have to have it on. You just ask Siri. Hey, Siri. Yes, what?
How about a web search for it?
Play loud farts. No, it's not listening. She never listens. Play loud farts.
I'm not sure I understand.
Oh, it's not working. So if you have Apple Music, what's supposed to happen when you say, Siri, play loud farts, she'll play What's My Name by Rihanna, featuring Drake.
Well, that's accurate, actually. She's right on. It's the first thing she's ever done right. Just don't get directions to, you know, to the Starbucks. But, yeah, if you want loud farts, you get Rihanna. Perfect.
There you go.
Winning.
Yes, exactly. All right. So, Kelly, what's the deal with tap water? What's in it?
Well, this is kind of disturbing, I think. The USGS, you know, the United States Geological Survey, came out with this study. They're talking about pharmaceutical drug residues are in unfiltered tap water.
How are they getting there?
Well, hold on a second. They're confirming that birth control drugs have been present and in this tap water, and it's like an epidemic for the coming years because it's not happening now. It's for future generations.
If you drink birth control?
No.
If it's in your tap water and you drink it, does that make you sterile?
Well, they're saying that some of these, they actually did this study with fish. And so the fish, with their fertilized eggs, they weren't getting fertilized, and they couldn't figure out why. And so they were looking at the study.
Well, that's bad because we eat fish, and if they're not having baby fish... there won't be any fish on my plate.
Well, it's happening, too, though, with antidepressants getting into our drinking water.
Yes.
And it's messing with fish. And fish are all happy now, they're easier to catch.
Exactly. Oh, really?
Yeah, you throw, like, a hook in the water and, like, hey, look at that, man.
Totally cool. Wow, I think I'll take a bite.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so the fish are happy and not propagating.
Yeah, apparently. So basically anybody drinking the water from an average city tap are actually downing these trace elements of contraceptives and antidepressants and all this other stuff.
That's not good.
Yeah.
What's the appropriate way of disposing of your pharmaceuticals?
Well, I would assume that you would have to turn them into the hazardous waste material people.
Well, sell them to friends, actually.
Yeah, right.
On Craigslist.
Right. Did you just burn them?
I don't know. He would probably then have the EPA out for you.
Why don't you stick them in your mortar and pestle? Is that what it's called? Mortar and pestle?
Mortar. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and scrunch them all up into a nice big powder.
Oh.
And then light that on fire and see what kind of colors come out.
Oh. Be like the screaming zombies. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I hesitate to think what Phil was like in college just based on his knowledge of how to grind up stuff and set it on fire.
Well, but we used to take Wonder Bread wrappers and twist them and hang them from the sky or the ceiling and then light them on fire.
Really?
And then put a bucket of water down below and then these like globs of things would come down. We call them the screaming zombies. And they would go,
wow.
It was really cool.
This doesn't sound like something the fire department would be thrilled about. But I am...
What do you do when you're 17?
I feel compelled to point out that the fire department will accept your unused pharmaceuticals and they will dispose of them properly.
Probably?
The fire department?
Properly. I didn't say they'll dispose of them probably.
So what you're saying is our municipal fire department is a bunch of drug fiends, is what you're saying.
They could be. If you want to know where all the unused drugs are, go to the fire department.
Well, what about my birth control? They're going to take
What about it? You didn't skip a day, did you? You didn't choose today to skip, did you?
No, well,
that would be suspect.
Leftovers.
Hey, do you have any tattoos, Kelly?
Me? No.
No, not yet. Greg, how about you? You've got a couple, don't you?
I have many, yeah.
I have a toe ring.
Yeah, a toe ring tattoo or a toe actual piece of jewelry?
A toe ring, that's about it.
Okay, I've got toes and no tattoos. But removing a tattoo, as you may imagine, is painful and expensive. Have you done that, Greg?
I've had one covered.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, name of an ex-wife, no doubt.
Not a name, but an image.
Oh, the picture of an ex-wife.
Sort of, allegedly. In her best daydreams, that would be.
Oh, right? I see. So it was the goddess version.
Right.
All right. Now, so you didn't have anything like a Fallout Boy Forever on your lower back tattoo.
Actually my tramp stamp, but anyway.
A new study looked at tattoos people are most likely to get removed, and here are the top 10. I'll start from 10 and work the way up. Number 10 is fairies.
Aww.
I guess fairies are out of vogue when it comes to ink.
Aww.
Zodiac signs, because we've pretty much figured out that that's all bogus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Random Celtic or Irish designs. Because really, there's no relationship to your reality, because you're not Celtic or Irish.
And they don't.
What if you are? What if you have Irish heritage?
I think you're most likely to have misspelled it. Then, if you are,
you probably would also have it removed. So,
and this happens all the time. Chinese symbols, where the tattoo artist will say this means strength, and then you meet somebody Chinese, and they start laughing.
Oh,
what? Yeah,
that means douchebag is what that means.
A butterfly. How many ladies have butterflies on their ankles? I mean, come on.
I like butterflies.
Isn't that the most popular ankle tattoo? A butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
Or right next to the belly button. A belly button butterfly. Butterflies like that belly button lint.
Apparently that's where they hang out.
Yeah. All right. A star.
Okay.
That goes back to the old Dr. Seuss thing. Get the star off your belly. Barbed wire, because that's so played, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's so Angelina Jolie.
A misspelled quote.
Oh, that is so sad.
Oh, yeah, no regrets.
Yeah, right, exactly. A dolphin.
I like dolphins, and if I was going to get a tattoo, I'd probably get a dolphin.
Dolphins should get tattoos. They have the perfect skin for it.
That's true.
Yeah. And the number one, which we've already destroyed in talking to Greg first, is your ex's name. But in his
name,
case,
it would be
the
name.
Ex's face. Yeah.
Oh. Face or name, if yeah, never.
Gonna, if you were going to get a tattoo, Phil, what would you get?
I'd get an X.
Just the X?
Yeah.
That X marks the
that's
spot?
Why, what is that? I said, that's my ex.
A scratch and sniff or something like that?
So then you can get it covered.
I have a tattoo of my ex, yeah. And then you can get...
Where would you put it?
Oh, I don't know. I've been thinking forever that there's got to be some kind of really great conversational piece that people would get really bored and tired of after a while, but it would be ingenious for a minute. Like, wow, you did that with a tattoo. That is really cool. And you look online and Google 3D tattoos.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I think an excellent 3D tattoo would be a chomp by a shark right on my ribs. You know, like the whole side of my rib
gnarly.
Cage.
Yeah, so you can like inside. Right? Yeah.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would
if
be
I were
awesome.
Still actively surfing and going to the beach all the time and I ripped off my way too small t-shirt and people said, oh my God.
Wow.
3D tattoos. They're awesome.
Buddy of mine had an eyeball in his armpit.
Ooh.
So he would lift up his arm and go, I'm giving you the hairy eyeball.
Isn't that the greatest place to put one? If you were to get a third eye.
Did they shave him, I wonder? They would have
No, it was the hairy eyeball, so no, God, he did not shave.
Yeah, right.
It was hideous.
You know what else is getting covered up? It's when you try to open up your browser and go to a website where they're just not up to speed on technology, things that used to be normal ain't working no more. Isn't that great? You've got a little tech news for us?
Well, sure. Everybody hates Flash is the word of the day. If you opened up your Firefox today and tried to go to a website that still uses Flash, and remarkably many do, you'll get a warning saying this has been blocked for your protection because Flash got massively hacked. It seems like every week with Flash there's another security flaw, but this one was huge. And picked up and stolen documents from the security company Hacking Team.
Hmm.
So Hacking Team you hire to find weaknesses in your software. So Hacking Team found some weaknesses in Flash, and then Hacking Team got hacked. So now all that information is out there. So Adobe Flash is totally vulnerable right now.
Yeah.
So Google Chrome doesn't allow you to use Flash at all anymore and hasn't for a while now. And now Mozilla Firefox has said no as well, although it does give you the option to say, look, if you want to use it on the site, you can. But it looks like Flash is going the way of the dodo, as they say, and and should be gone, since it's effectively replaced by HTML5 at this point.
Yes, which I'm trying to learn, because it's a lot like the original HTML, but it seems more compact and more logical.
It's so 2002.
Yeah, right. You know what? Facebook is pretty hardcore about people using their real names. You know this, right?
I have a friend that's going through this right now. It's hell.
If they catch you with a fake name, they'll suspend or delete your account. Is that what your friend's going through?
Yeah, you lose. And they give you like 7 days to either change to your real name.
Yeah.
Or there's some other options you can change to like a page or something.
Or
like
you
that.
Lose your photos, your contacts,
right.
And everything else.
Everything. Yeah.
Pretty upsetting. Gemma Rogers is in London. She signed up for Facebook with a fake name some 7 years ago because she wanted to avoid friend requests or people that she didn't want to have contact with. So she just went to court to change her name legally to the fake name that she'd used on Facebook just so she could gain access to her account.
What's the fake name?
The fake name is Gemmeroid von Lala.
Gemmeroid?
Gemmeroid von
Hold
Lala.
On. I'm okay. going on Facebook right now to friend her.
Hey, if you're thinking about renovating your home and you want to stay together with your spouse, good luck. Unless, of course, you hang tight and you listen to Laura Longville and what she has to say next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Ever watch those reality TV shows about remodeling?
I love HGTV.
Yeah, and other channels too. It's inevitable in every episode, isn't it, that somebody's going to go off the rails, tempers flare, and the drama gets out of control. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's reality TV. It's based on reality. And the drama could be your reality as well if you dive into a renovation project. And let's avoid the pitfalls of your money pit with our next guest. She's a therapist who joined forces with an interior designer to provide a unique service to couples, which we'll learn about in a bit. And together they wrote a book. It's called Break Ground Without Breaking Up. The book's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Laura Longville, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. It's great to be here.
And it's even better now that you're here. Why is a home renovation or a remodel project a recipe for relationship disaster?
Well, for a couple reasons. One is that as a couple is remodeling together, their relationship is going to go through some ups and downs and probably have some arguments about and disagreements about what they're working on. And second, you know, things just do not go as planned. There's always something that interrupts the plan. Maybe there's an emergency or something that was unplanned. So that can create an overwhelming amount of stress.
Now, yeah, and the stress is unavoidable, isn't it, when you're building a house?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's some things that you can do to, you know, fortify your relationship ahead of time and equip yourself and acquire some information to set yourself up for success. But there's always those unexpected things that happen.
Yeah.
Well, plus the noise of saws and hammers is so calming anyway, just to begin with.
Oh, yeah, right.
And the workers, it's a job site. It ceases for about 6 months to be your house. It becomes a job site. And you treat your house like your house, but these guys, they'll just whatever, you know, that's where they come to work. Now, talk a little more about how you buffer some of that stress. I mean, the preparation on the relationship, I suppose, is good. But let's say you're in it and all of a sudden it's just getting a little too tough to handle. How do you buffer that?
Well, there's a couple things that you can do. I think really the first thing is when it's stressful and it feels like, you know, stuff's going to hit the fan, take a break. It can be as simple as 5 minutes, a half an hour, or maybe even a few hours. But taking a break will calm the mind and calm you physically.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. Another thing that typically happens is that, you know, people get unhappy. The homeowner gets unhappy, or maybe even the workers might get unhappy. So one thing that can be helpful is to turn a complaint into a request. Instead of complaining about it, ask for what you need.
Turn that frown upside down? Is that what you're saying?
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I I read somewhere that during the course of a home remodel, the homeowners make something like 16,000 decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And all those decisions, as they have to be made, they can really bring out the monster in you or your partner's personality.
That's right.
And you don't realize what's inside until you get into these things, and you find out things about your partner that, well, you know what? I thought we had the same taste. Apparently not.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things show up. So the very strengths that you have in a relationship, as well as the weaknesses that are in a relationship, are only going to be magnified throughout a renovation project.
Yeah. Now here's the thing, and this, I think people play different roles. I don't want to say it typically falls on the man's shoulders for this particular thing, but I think people have roles. So that somebody's the fix the problem person,
mm-hmm.
or somebody's
mm-hmm.
the complainer. One of these two personalities is going to have to tend to the only once in a rare while will the contractor screw up. And then it's somebody's job to confront him about it, and that never goes well, does it? I mean, on two points. First with the contractor, but then, did you tell him to do this? No. How about that? Did you tell him to do? No, but we've got to deal. Well, what about this?
Get out of my way. I'll tell him myself.
I guess I have to go talk to him again, don't I? It's no good, is it? Mike's shaking his head over there, our executive producer. Yeah, he's been through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing that happens is that miscommunication is kind of at the bottom of everything. And we think we're making sense. Like, we built my own home, my husband and I. And we thought we were making sense about what we were asking for our general contractor, but he heard something different. It doesn't mean that we were right and he was wrong. But so many times we think we're being clear and we're not. So the better and the more often we can get it in black and white and everybody feels like they're on the same page, the better.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So...
I wanted the door over there.
Yeah.
Why is it over here?
Right. And then after it's all built, you didn't have the brains to think of the ergonomics and all that and said, this light switch is in the wrong place. And now the guy's gone and we paid him and there's no chance to get it fixed. So let's do it ourselves. Hear that sound? That's the sound of your fingers frying. So I wonder then, why do it? Things were going swimmingly with
just
the relationship.
Move. Yeah. Wouldn't it be easier to move?
Yeah, just suck it up and buy a new house, right? Why do it?
That's right. Well, a lot of times people do it because they've been dreaming about it a long time, or maybe there's something that they need to. Maybe they need more bedrooms or bathrooms because they got a growing family.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people get in over their heads, especially if they're going to do the renovation themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the downfalls of the HGTV, some of the HGTV and other shows that are the do-it-yourself kind, is that people really have no clue what they're getting into.
Yeah, they edit it down to all happen in a half an hour. And
it looks great.
Yeah. And here's your 3-month plan, and now you're into month 9, and you're halfway done.
Yep.
Now, talk about this unique service that you provide to couples, you and your interior designer friend. What's her name?
Sandy Brendes.
Yeah. Tell us about what you offer.
So we walk alongside couples together, and we provide the service together. And so we meet from beginning to end, and Sandy does all the interior design. You know, coordinating with the general contractor, doing those, you know, kind of the left brain how-to kinds of things. And I help couples, Sandy and I help couples work on their budget, some of the dreaming that they can do together before they even get started, asking some of those tough questions, you know, like what are your strengths in your relationships and how can we build on those and what might get in the way of your project that we can be mindful of or aware of ahead of time.
Mm. And you're what type of therapist?
I'm a drug and alcohol counselor, and I have a lot of marriage counseling experience.
Yeah, right.
So do home renovations go smoother in Colorado, where you can have access to things to help mellow you out a little bit?
I bet in some situations they do.
All right.
And if you're not in Colorado, it'll be good business for you, because home renovation will drive you to drink, for sure.
That's for sure.
Well, the book is called Break Ground Without Breaking Up. Laura Longville, we have the book in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. A pleasure to speak with you. And will you be breaking ground anytime soon on a new project?
Yes, we have a renovation just happening in the next week or so.
Good luck to you and yours.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks for being on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh, man. Yeah, I just went through this myself as well. We went from down to the studs and started over. So we essentially have a brand new house.
Oh, no.
But
did you fit the painting in, that the velvet with the dogs playing pool?
Yeah, we've got that.
You got that?
Good.
All right. Got all of that.
Can't lose that. Do you still have your neon beer signs, too? That's always important.
Oh, yeah.
Those.
Yeah. The motif is clearly Yeah.
Do you have a man cave?
I have an office with a recording studio.
I built a lady cave.
Yeah, really? What consists of a lady cave?
A lady cave, we have a chaise lounge. Yeah. We have a big screen TV. We've got your music. We've got your wine.
Why would you have my music in there? That would immediately...
My music.
Ladies don't listen to my music.
My music.
The TV only shows Sex in the City. Yeah. I know.
I put my music on, my wife and three daughters all say, can we listen to something else, Dad?
And don't forget about the three rack of all the display of shoes.
Oh, great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. See, I have a surfboard on the wall in my office. I tell you, I am still broken up about something.
What's wrong? Buddy.
I don't know if I'll ever be able to get past this. It's the breakup of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner.
But you're not over that yet? Come on.
10 years of wedded bliss down the tubes, and it goes to show you that things could go south when you least expect it, so you have to be prepared. Coming up, we're going to learn about something that our next guest believes is protection in everyone's best interest, and it's not too late for you to get one. We're talking prenups. Mm. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, added.com. You're at our website. Go poke around a little bit. Have some fun. If you're married or planning to get married...
Don't!
Good advice from a four-time, not-so-successful guy at marriage. Well, the question is, should you get a prenup? How do you even approach that subject with your partner? And is the document a one-sided deal which protects the treasure of one party from the other getting his or her hands on it if the relationship goes south? Mm-hmm. Let's get some answers to these questions and more. Joining us live is a family law trial lawyer with a long track record in complicated, sophisticated cases, all types of family litigation matters, including divorce, complex property division, high net worth cases, business valuation issues. Stop me if I hit one of yours. Division of estates, jurisdiction challenges, child custody disputes, both interstate and international, marital agreement litigation. He also drafts marital agreements, including premarital, postmarital, and partial agreements. If you're tangled up with any of these issues, this is the guy you want to know. Brad Lamorges, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello.
How'd I do with the name? Not bad?
Perfect.
Oh, good, good. Now, before the break, we talked about the Affleck-Garner split the day after their 10th anniversary. Both successful actors in their own right, both, I imagine, with their own amount of treasure from their residuals, et cetera. Do you think they had a prenup?
It seems very likely because, you know, a lot of the times these agreements are drafted where some money will trigger on a deadline. So you usually see divorce filings either right before or right after some big milestone. So I think it's likely because also they brought in a lot of their wealth on their own. But who knows who, you know, how successful each one was going to be after the marriage. So the prenup would essentially protect what each one brought in is typically what we would do.
Well, let's explore that protection a little bit. What exactly does a prenup do?
So the two big things a prenup would normally do is take out divisible property. And what that would do is normally property accumulated during a marriage would be divided by a judge at the end of the marriage. A prenup would essentially rewrite the legal rules to say, you know, whatever is acquired in my name will be mine and whatever is acquired in yours will be yours. So they often can be one-sided, but typically that income that's lost would be built back in through a clause that would build in some money for the other spouse.
I don't need a prenup to protect my album collection because they don't make albums anymore, right?
You never know. You never know.
Well, see, the thing about prenups, are they really good for both parties? Let's throw a scenario out there for you, and there is no way in the world I'm going to belittle the role of a woman deciding to stay home and raise the kids and run the house. That's an invaluable job. It's probably worth more money than any amount of money a working man can bring into the scenario. However, in a prenup, if we're talking about the money earned during the course of the marriage, then the woman who's raising the kids isn't really earning any money.
I think the prenup means anything that you brought to the table prior to the marriage.
So what about that, Brad?
Is that right?
Is that a one-sided prenup in that arrangement?
What's mine is mine is what's yours is mine? That's my clause.
Well, I would say that a prenup could be drafted exactly that way, and it would be horribly unfair at the time of a divorce. So, of course, there's child support that really you can't theoretically alter by a prenup unless you agree to do more than what the state would require. But it could be very unfair, and that's typically why we would advise someone, if they're contemplating having children, to definitely build in some replacement estate or some replacement income that would accrue in lieu of that, because you're absolutely right. That could be extremely unfair.
Do you have any friends that went through prenups? I mean, I have nobody that I know of in my circle.
Oh, sure.
I've never done a prenup. Really?
I do.
I think you see it more in the older people. I mean, I'm not saying that you're...
Well, you know, perhaps that's changing. Brad, it seems to me that there's a movement now, that, and especially with you talking about how this is perhaps good for everybody. Let me ask you this. How do you even approach your partner with the idea? And is it the same approach, more or less, when you are just engaged versus if you approach it after you've been married for several years?
Well, that is a delicate conversation I think people would have. But a lot of the times when somebody brings in a lot of wealth, or if they're an entertainer or an athlete or just very wealthy in their own regard, it's almost expected. So I think it's an easier conversation then. But it's definitely a conversation that should be had as long as possible before the wedding, so that there's really no complaints about when it was signed.
And there's a cooling off period.
Right.
Exactly.
And you still want to marry the guy. Can a prenup be challenged or disputed in court later? I mean, look, I was young and dumb. I'm older now, wiser, a great deal more prominent than I was. This piece of paper doesn't reflect reality anymore.
So they definitely can be challenged. Those are probably rarer than we used to see, because most states want to enforce these things because they're contracts. If they're parts that are terribly unfair, I think a court's going to look at that. But if both sides had lawyers and there was a fair disclosure up front, most likely they're going to be enforced.
You have a prenup, don't you?
No, I don't.
How about that? You're the guy promoting prenups and you don't have one.
He's going to be married forever.
That's funny, because I wanted to find out how you presented this to your wife and how the idea went over.
If you go in with prenup, it says, well, you're not going to love me forever. And you're just, it's a delicate conversation is a nice way to put that.
You just want me for my money.
It's really an insurance policy, but I don't really recommend it. My wife and I married young, and we didn't have much of the time, so what we acquired together, we acquired together.
All right, so then you've almost answered the question for me. Are prenups indeed for everyone?
I don't think they're for everyone. I do think if a young couple is starting out together, it's really not a good idea for the marriage, just my observation. I think anyone, though, who brings in a good amount of wealth or even an album collection, you can memorialize what you do own, because there's always disputes at the time of divorce about who owned what.
Yeah. Are there some states that you just want to do a prenup for sure, and other states where you probably just don't want to hassle with it?
I think it would probably apply to any state, really. There's some of the states, Massachusetts, California, New York, have probably more ambitious alimony and, maybe more ambitious divisions. So, a lot of people in those states definitely look at them. But I would really say any state, because one of the things a marital agreement can do, especially a prenup, is in theory sort of minimize the fighting and litigation at the time of a divorce.
Gotcha. Hmm. Pleasure to speak with you, and continued success and just a long, wonderful married life to you and your wife, Brad Lamorges. Great talking about this subject. I do not have a prenup, and don't expect I ever will. I don't expect I'll ever leave my wife either, and I'm pretty sure she won't leave me.
You're in love.
Yes.
Forever.
After 33 years,
and
I think
ever.
It's going to be fine. It gets harder to... Harder to go the other direction. It just
don't
seems like you're one
are.
After a while, you know.
Yeah, like you might as well stay married.
Yeah, might as well at this point.
Cheaper to keep her. Like,
exactly.
Is that what they say?
Yes. Brad Lamorges, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes, and you could look it up. He practices in Texas, by the way.
I kind of gathered that.
Did you get that a little bit off of him?
Yeehaw!
Right. Okay. 85% of people have been in three serious relationships or less in their lives.
Well, it leaves me out.
Three serious relationships or less.
Oh.
Hey, Kelly, what are you doing after the show?
Say, hey, what do you define serious?
Well, okay. You know, like...
More than 3 weeks?
Like going steady.
Oh.
you're trading your chewing gum?
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
You don't?
No.
What are you saying over there, Kelly?
She's saying, well, you know,
hello?
let's see how things go tonight. And if
next.
I remember your name tomorrow, it's another story.
It's like waves in the ocean.
Oh.
You know, they come in groups, like five, six at a time, and then mm-hmm. they leave.
Yeah.
And then there's like low tide.
Are you saying it's low tide right now?
Yeah, it's pretty low.
All right, that's why you're on Phil's show. All right.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, I'm actually looking at the ocean right now.
Yes, out our beautiful studio here on the L.A. Harbor,
mm-hmm.
yes,
L.A. Radio Studio.
I see some Irish kilts out there.
Ooh, you're just imagining things. Hey, the world's largest KFC. Do you know where it is?
Texas?
Kentucky?
It's in Azerbaijan. It's in the city of Baku. It was built in an old train station, and it's about 17,000 square feet.
Why?
Because they love them chicken. Their chicken.
Finger licking.
In Azerbaijan, fried chicken, nothing like it out there.
That's what they're known for.
It is. Hey, that's it for hour one of this here program. There's more to come, including the Ice Age is coming. The Ice Age is coming. The top 10 beer snob cities. Women and smack. Plus, where in the world is our travel guy? I'm not sure he knows. Those stories and more coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next!
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, women are getting way too cozy with heroin. Larry King is about to break a hip.
He's a caller there. Walla Walla, hello.
And our travel guy is where? Where's our travel guy?
We still haven't found him, huh?
No, not yet. Gonzo Greg Spillane is here. Kelly Bennett is here as well. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. So, I don't want to sound like Chicken Little, but I did already when I said the Ice Age is coming. The Ice Age is coming.
Tomorrow, the sun's going out. Day after tomorrow. It's going out.
What's the matter with the sun, Greg?
No more sun. It's just, it's going to sleep. It's going, yeah. The sun's going to sleep.
Yeah.
Here's the headline, because if you were on Twitter or the internets at all over the weekend, you realize that the end of the world is coming, I guess, in 2030 is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Here's the headline. Scientists warn the sun will go to sleep in 2030. 2030. And could cause temperatures to plummet. Yeah, there's an ice age coming, apparently, within 15 years, according to another headline.
That'd be good for the ski resorts.
Well, true. Yeah. Way to look at the bright side, Phil.
Of course.
Does Al Gore know about all this?
I believe so. It's in his lockbox. Royal Astronomical Society national meeting, researchers studying sunspots found that solar activity is due to decline dramatically in the next few decades, reaching levels not seen since the 17th century, which is where this whole story comes from, because in the 17th century, they had what they called the Little Ice Age, when Europe's winters got really cold and crops failed and rivers froze over. So basically, they had a really cold snap at that point in history. And so although this woman, Valentina Zarkova, who did the research, basically was looking into sunspots, the internet, as it is wont to do, interpreted it as being that the Earth's climate was going to freeze us all to death in 2030. But that's it has really nothing to do with the climate. It just has to do with sunspots, apparently.
So is it bogus or not bogus?
I believe it's totally accurate. Absolutely 100% I believe in this, because I have evidence that we are all going to freeze to death.
What is that, Greg?
Well, first of all, this past winter, right, especially if you're on the East Coast, remember how horrible it was?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Boston just got blasted this winter?
Sure.
And they
100 years storm.
Right. They had to dig out like every day, snowstorm after snowstorm, and they kept piling all this snow up into a giant snow mountain, which is what you do. You have to put the snow someplace, so they put it out into a snow mountain. You'll be happy to know that as of today, the snow mountain has officially melted. Today, the 14th day of July.
It's gone.
Was there anything in that snow mountain it's melted, we have found some hidden treasure?
There's lots of garbage in there, because when you plow the streets, right, all the other crap gets picked up in there. So the snow mountain is gone, but apparently the garbage mountain still is there. So if you lost something on the way home that one night from the bar, you might want to go check the garbage mountain.
Now, here's what I've learned from this conversation. It's going to be only a matter of months now before we hear some prominent politician say that we all must band together and do whatever we can to counteract the effects of solar sleeping.
Yes, apparently the sun's been taking Ambien and it just wants to knock his ass out for a while.
I don't do cold very well.
Yeah. Well, the folks over in England, what do they call the bookies in England? And then some of the ones over in Vegas and other places in New Jersey, and a couple of the other casinos, maybe a riverboat or two. They have these betting rooms, usually the sports betting, but they've got these other prop bets on just about anything.
Well,
and,
sure.
And there's a strange one coming, right?
Right. Well, this is a horrible time for sports betting because there's no sports. I mean, you know, who bets on Wimbledon? Nobody, right?
I mean,
there's really nothing going on. And it's one of the reasons ESPN has their big award show, the ESPYs, this week, because literally there's no sports. And so that's why a lot of these sports books, including betonline.ag, where's .ag? I don't know where that hails from.
That's agoraphobia.
So it's a sports book. It's the same one. Remember, they were taking bets on whether Katy Perry would show her boobs at the Super Bowl. Remember?
Yeah. Right.
They're taking the side bet, the prop bet on whether Caitlyn Jenner is going to go cleavage or no cleavage at the ESPY Awards this week.
Oh.
The ESPY Awards, because she's going to be there to accept the Arthur Ashe Courage Award at the ESPYs, which is happening on Wednesday.
Okay. I'm going to go with the prop bet that says that there will be no cleavage.
You think?
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
I have you seen her wardrobe lately?
Yes, I have, but I've also seen her neck.
Ooh.
So I'm thinking turtleneck.
You are so catty, Phil. That's just...
gobble, gobble.
I'm thinking
seriously.
Turtleneck all the way.
Wow.
She's got that long, jaded, you know.
The odds are saying it's quite likely that she's going to show off the gals. Mm-hmm. And I think if you pay that kind of money, you probably do. If you are going pro cleavage, and if you're betting, you need to wager about $260 right now to win the $100.
Really?
$260 to win $100. So the other way around, the odds are in favor.
Exactly. You're the long shot there, Phil. So you could make some money on this if she does go turtleneck.
I'm thinking a tasteful pantsuit.
No, she loves to show her legs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and those heels.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Something about being in an environment like that, full of sportsmen and women.
It's her environment, though.
Right.
Because she loves women.
But will be a conflict there, the whole scenario of sport. I don't know.
Because a former decathlon champion, she might still feel that she has to cover up. Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I think
what
they ought to do is they ought to roll out a giant box of Wheaties, and then she could jump right out of the, smash out of there.
You're part of the problem here. You need to need to move into the new century.
Television. Visuals. That's all I'm thinking. What would be memorable? What would be more memorable than something like that?
You could take a photo. I really do. I think she's rocking it. I think she's done a great job.
Yeah,
and I think if you spend that amount of money on boobs, which I have, not for myself, but I think that you want to.
But for others.
You want to put them out there, right?
Let's be clear, Greg. I don't have a problem with what Caitlin has done. I'm just thinking, visually speaking, Caitlin is a celebrity, and I'm looking for the biggest bang for my buck on a TV show.
But it's an awards show. It's all about the gowns and the pageantry and the red carpet.
Yes, think of red carpet
and naked athletes too. That has that edition come out yet? The naked athlete edition.
It's on the internet.
I'm gonna go with cleavage.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
If you got them, why not?
Yeah. Well, remember that I said it. If I win, it's a dollar gets you what? If there's no cleavage,
I don't have the other side of the odds right now. So
I bet a dollar gets you $5, and so I think I'm
probably
gonna
yeah.
Yeah. So, but whatever happens, somebody will take a picture, and it will forever live on the cloud somewhere in Google land. Isn't that right, Greg?
Excuse me?
I say...
Oh, I see where you're going. Hold on.
There's a cloud out there. Google runs it.
Google runs all the things.
Because they want your photos.
Right. No, remember a couple few weeks ago we were talking, we were kind of interested and intrigued by Google's new photo thing, right?
Yeah.
Google Photo, I think they called it. And we were like, it was like all the pictures you want. Forever for free, stored, all your pictures stored, so you can get them off your phone so you have more room on your phone, right?
Yeah.
And remember the question we asked was like, if you do this, if you give these to Google, what happens? What's the downside of that? And it turns out, we've found out, some guy did a little bit of investigating into how Google Photo works.
Yeah.
And the deal is that even if you decide you try out Google Photo and you don't like it and you say, look, I'm going to go back to Flickr, which is what this one guy did.
Right.
The thing still keeps uploading your photos to Google, even though you've deleted the app.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently you have to go into some settings thing in there.
Sounds like you need antibiotics.
Exactly right. So even though you delete the app, your photos are still going up automatically. So even those special photos that you don't really want on the internet are still going to be there unless you go in. And the guy who did the piece, I think for the Nashville Times or something like that, he contacted Google, and Google said, well, the backup worked as expected. Mm. And that was their quote.
Yeah.
So if you decide to use Google Photo, just know that it's going to suck everything out of your phone and put it on the cloud.
What is it, doctor? What do I have? Oh, son, I'm sorry to tell you. You have an uploading Google.
You have. Exactly.
Hey, more middle class folks are reaching into a bag of smack. Heroin use is reaching into new communities. According to the Centers for Disease Control, heroin is addicting more middle class users and more women. Why is this and how can we stem the tide? The co-author of the book, Ending Addiction for Good, joins us live next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot.
Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. And quite a show today. We have Kelly Bennett here, who's been keeping track of the state of leg gap in America.
You know what leg gap is, right?
Oh, I do.
Is, is that the thigh gap? Is that the same?
Thigh gap.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Put your legs together, and how much of a gap do you have?
Yeah. So you can see the sunset.
Measured in fingers, right?
These little silhouette shots that they put in the surfer magazines,
exactly.
And you can see the sunset.
Well, right? If you don't have leg gap, this is something that you can actually get to prevent that rubbing and the chafing.
Oh, yeah. Chafing, that's what everybody else gets.
And the swoosh, 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 you know, when you walk?
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Excuse me?
It's a swoosh, swoosh, swoosh.
What are you implying exactly?
When you walk.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, this prevents chafing between your thighs, and it's actually a product that's sold, and it's called Thigh Slides.
Thigh what?
S-L-Y-D-Z. Slides.
How does it work?
Oh, let me tell you. No messing with tight and uncomfortable bike shorts that ride up or roll up anyway.
That's right, Axl Rose.
If you've been unable to enjoy wearing dresses due to discomfort of thigh chafing, you can get this product and you can put it on your thighs, roll them up all the way up to the top, and I'm telling you, it's no longer painful. You don't have that swishing sound. Any bathroom stalls, it's very easy to put on, and
so
they stay
put. Is it a stocking or is it like a wrap, like an ace bandage?
It looks like a stocking that you would just kind of pull up over your, from your foot, and you go bring it all the way up to the top, and it has
like garters with this or
no? No, it has little seals up at the top. It's a stay put unique design that could be adjusted to fit any thigh.
I get that
perfectly.
Chafing. Would that look good on me? Could I wear one of those?
You could, because a lot of people use chafing gel or Body Glide. That's a really nice attempt, but sometimes it doesn't work because your body absorbs all that stuff.
Yeah.
So what happens is if you put these on, there's one for each leg.
Yeah.
And then you just have no problem with it. It's just,
you need to, Phil. We need pictures on the show fun page.
I'm going for it. Going for it. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now to a completely different topic. More middle-class folks and more women are getting hooked on heroin. Can you believe that? Well, what in the world is going on? Let's learn more about this. Joining us live is the CEO and founder of the addiction treatment facility, Cliffside Malibu. And after 10 years of his own sobriety, he wrote the book Ending Addiction for Good, which is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Richard Tate, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. How bad of an addict were you, and what were you hooked on?
Well, I mean, I was really bad. In all the years that I've treated people at Cliffside Malibu, I probably only had a handful of people who were as bad as I was.
Wow.
So I'm in a unique position to help people, the thought being if I could get well, anybody could get well. I was primarily cocaine, crack specifically, but I took a ton of painkillers and heroin to come down. So, I pretty much did it all.
Wow. All right. So what turned things around for you?
Well, I mean, it got so bad the way I think Charlie Sheen, but without having to show up on set.
So no responsibility, right?
Yeah, without responsibility.
Right.
And without being, somebody who was going to be followed around and written about. And, but what happens is if you do that for too long a period of time, I had a friend who was the partner of a big law firm in Century City, and he did it the way I did it for 3 years straight, and he was walking around homeless with a beard and the big toenails and the whole thing talking to himself, and he did it for just over 3 years. So the way we did it, it eats away at your brain pretty fast, and you lose all sense of who you are.
Yeah, yeah. But you were one of the lucky ones. It sounds to me like you got your faculties together. Let's.
I had a high bottom, if you think about it, because I ran out of money.
Oh.
When I ran out of money and people stopped taking my bad checks,
yeah.
Right.
The gig was up.
Yeah. So let's explore what's happening out there today. Why do you think heroin is taking hold in middle-class neighborhoods, and especially with more women?
Because the pharmaceutical companies, what's going on today is if you have a feeling, there's a pill for it. Nobody's entitled to their feelings anymore. If the pharmaceutical companies had their way, if the industry had their way. I mean, God forbid somebody that we're close to dies, right? We can expect to feel sad. But, you know, not according to your doctor or the pharmaceutical industry, you know, you need Xanax or Ativan or, you know, something like that because, you know, God forbid you should process a feeling and get to the other side of it. So what's happening today is people are getting hooked on opioids, painkillers like OxyContin and hydrocodone and that kind of stuff. And when it becomes too expensive and they're done doctor shopping, that means for lay purposes, going to every doctor you can until they go, wait a minute, you've been to 14 doctors, right?
You get blacklisted, yeah, and you can't get your fix.
Mm. That's right. So when that inevitably happens and your insurance company only pays for, you know, a normal prescription, right, what is reasonable, and then you're on 10 times that, it gets really cost prohibitive. So people start going to heroin, people that you would never ever think are going to start heroin, but they do it because it's less expensive.
Hmm.
Than the prescription drug.
Isn't that amazing? That you wouldn't even think that. You imagine how do these people afford their heroin fix, but it's less expensive than the oxycodone. Is it pretty easy to tell?
It isn't it?
Is it pretty easy to tell if somebody you love, somebody's close to you, is using heroin?
Well, sure, they're nodding out at the table.
Oh, that's all. That's the telltale sign.
Or they get cold in a really hot room.
But are they shooting it into their veins, or are they taking it other ways?
Oh, that's a great conversation to have. If you're snorting something, you get high, right?
Yeah.
And then if you smoke it, you get 10 times higher than if you snorted it. And if you shoot it, you get 10 times higher than if you smoked it.
Ugh.
That's the delivery system for both cocaine and heroin, right?
Yeah.
So the problem and what your listeners should really know is the thing that feels the best for a heroin addict, an intravenous heroin addict specifically, is to get as close to dying as humanly possible without actually dying.
Wow.
That feels the best.
That's a scary
where the
thought.
Euphoria is.
And you've been there, haven't you?
Well, that's the truth.
Sure. Absolutely. And it's the scariest thing in the world. Now, I don't remember it, doing it to myself, but I've seen people do it in front of me, and you've heard... You know, we've all heard the stories, you know, when we were kids that this person is breathing slowed and they turned purple and then they just dumped him in a garbage can to die. It happened to me where a girl was literally dying in front of me and I had to put her in the shower and literally, it's the only time I've ever hit a girl, I had to smack her like 15 times and breathe in her mouth just to get her... to keep breathing because I was so scared. So, you know, there are no such thing as an old heroin addict. You either get well or you die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing that's so weird now is the people that you wouldn't normally think would be shooting heroin are the yuppies and the affluent and really, they just were people who had a back surgery or a knee surgery, got physically dependent, it got out of hand, and next thing you know, they're shooting heroin, and this is somebody who, you know, went to private school, and, you know, I mean...
Right. It's shocking. In the neighborhood.
So, Richard, is Big Pharma the gateway to heroin? Is that...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have just a little time left, Richard Tate. If you could take this opportunity, tell us just a little bit about Cliffside Malibu.
Well, Cliffside is I believe, and it's our reputation as being the finest therapy rehab in the country. It's about really figuring out what your root issue is, but not just your root problem. It's actually making that repair so that you can go on and live the life you were always meant to live before being derailed by the drugs and the alcohol. It's really a special thing.
CliffsideMalibu.com. We'll put it on our links page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. Just happy to know that you're alive and doing good work out there. Richard Tate, thanks for being on the program.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you for having me. Be well.
You too. All right, so up next, we've been trying for 90 minutes to figure out where in the world our travel guy is, and we think we may have found him. We're not sure exactly. Yeah, he's on Pluto. But he joins us next from somewhere, somehow, someway, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, do you have a train whistle?
You're the wacky DJ. You're supposed to have that.
Yeah, I have one at home.
Supposed to have the bell, the train whistle.
I always forget to bring it. And the
clown horn.
And the clown horn. We had that earlier on.
Yeah.
That's what guys have
we
under their kilts.
We all know Phil has a very large clown horn.
Yes, I do. It's got an extra loop.
Hey.
He also wears the big shoes. But anyway.
Yeah. Where in the world is our travel guy, Gary Warner? And we're about to find out. Gary, come in. Come in from wherever it is you are.
Over. Well, Phil, it's been a combination of planes, trains, and automobiles lately for me. Currently, I'm in an automobile on I-5 between just south of Portland, Oregon. But I wanted to talk about how I got up to Oregon, which was I took the Coast Starlight.
That's a train.
Yep, the overnight Amtrak from actually, I started out in Orange County and took the Pacific Surfliner up to Union Station, and then from Union Station took the Coast Starlight on up to Eugene.
Now, how lovely a ride is that?
It's a really beautiful ride. I mean, once you get outside of the cities, you sort of see the backside of Los Angeles all the way up, which is interesting, all the wreck yards and everything like that.
Yeah, L.A.'s backside is very attractive.
Yeah, it is, typically, and they get it padded these days. They've got plastic surgery for that. How many times do you have to stop? Like, do you stop in...
Stops quite a lot. It actually stops quite a lot. I mean,
Santa Barbara is a big stop, right?
Santa Barbara, they're quick stops, and then there are a few stops where they actually, you know, do some, you know, they change out the crew or the engine. So Santa Barbara, San Jose, Emeryville is the big, which is across the bay from San Francisco. The train does not go over to San Francisco, but that's where basically a lot of the changeover is done, because then from there you have the big long haul through the... Mount Shasta and
what's that like? I mean, do you chug up the altitude, and does it get a little dicey after a while?
A little bit, but not much. I mean, you're basically at the base of Mount Shasta, and one of the unfortunate parts of the Coast Starlight, it's just a matter of, you know, you can't be everywhere at one time, is that you go through Mount Shasta at night. Now you can get off and stay in Mount Shasta, but it was a full moon, so it was very beautiful.
Oh, good.
As we went through.
Now you're not too close to the mountain to actually see it, are you?
Oh yeah, you can see it.
Oh, okay.
You know, basically it parallels I-5 at that point. The train does. Earlier on, it's paralleling 101 pretty much up to the San Francisco Bay Area. And then it sort of cuts into the I-5 and follows the I-5 forward.
Now, you got out of the train to drive. Could you have stayed on it? And if so, for how long?
I could have gone all the way up to Seattle on the Coast Starlight. And then if I wanted to, I could change over to what's called the Cascader, which actually goes up to Vancouver, British Columbia. Okay. So, you know, my portion was basically I got on the Coast Starlight at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I had a small sleeper, and I arrived in Eugene the following afternoon.
Now, describe a small sleeper, because
that's what I was gonna
I'm
say.
Thinking the kind of ticket I could afford on Amtrak is going to put me in something like a chair on a school bus. So,
well, that's the thing. I would not do I personally would not do the seats. You know, I think you need a compartment, and I was by myself, so it's two bunks, and there are seats during the day, and then your attendant comes in and lays out the bunk beds if you want them. Now, what I did actually was I ended up having them just recline the seat a little bit, and I kind of slept like in a recliner type seat. That gave me more room.
Yeah.
But it's in the cheapest ones, which are the Superliner sleepettes. The bathroom is down the hall, but it's very close. But there are units that do have their own bathroom, and then there are ADA compliant ones on the bottom floor where a person in a wheelchair can go in. And,
oh,
you know,
well, that's good. And now, how do the prices compare to, say, if I were to take an airliner from Southern California up to Portland?
Yeah, well, up to Portland, it's probably not a competitive price. What it really works for is, if you're going to someplace like Eugene or somewhere along the line, Mount Shasta, for example, where flying in is quite expensive. Basically, my ticket and having the unit was $556.
Oh, okay.
Now, that basically, in terms of, you know, you add up the gas, an overnight in a motel somewhere, if I'm the drive, for flying, I have to get basically up to Portland and then down to Eugene, which is expensive.
And now, don't forget the value of the random bunkmate.
Well, no. I that's one of the nice things they do. I was solo. I had, I was.
Oh, okay.
Alone.
Is there a bar car?
There is a bar car.
Okay, sold.
An observation car.
Okay,
they show movies. It's quite nice.
All right. Then.
You know what's interesting in the United States is that we're one of the last places that has a lot of overnight trains, because Europe has gone to such a high speed rail system that there are very few overnight trains left in Europe. You can go.
It's not enough time to sleep.
Right. So,
who wants to sleep?
This is a great experience. It's basically like a land cruise. If you're planning on being someplace at a specific time, it's probably not the best mode. One of the things I always tell people about all the Amtrak trains, whether you're talking about the Coast Star Light up to Seattle or you're talking about the Sunset Limited, which goes to Chicago alongside Route 66, is that get on at a terminal if you can, in other words, at a starting point,
mm-hmm.
and because the train usually ends up being late.
Yeah.
The Coast Star Light, they've done a pretty good job. It's their premium one out of all of them. So they only average about 15, 20 minutes late. Now, my train was an hour late, but some of the other trains can be quite late. And especially if you're trying to get on a train in the middle of the run,
yeah.
it can be a little bit of that.
What about baggage? Can you bring baggage on?
That's one of the great things, is I was able to bring 4 full-size bags, 75 Ooh. Pounds, for $40.
And nobody checked them. They didn't wand your bags. They didn't get the dogs to sniff them. Nothing.
Well, I think
actually,
they do.
It's a federal thing. It's a little bit like the airport, but they don't do quite.
Right.
I just have a bag for shoes.
You're That's... not up in the air, and you know, the baggage car is at the end. So
yeah. Well, now if somebody just wanted to buy one of those seats that's like a chair on a school bus,
yeah,
what's that? About $40?
No, it's about $100, $120. I mean, it's one of these things where if you plan way ahead or last minute, that's when the best deals are.
Yeah. Huh. And it seems to me like maybe that's the way to go. And then you hang out with Greg in the bar car.
Yeah.
And you strike up a conversation with somebody with a lot of jewelry on. And eventually you work your way back to some private bunk.
There you go.
Well, yeah, you can do that. I mean, with a private bunk, you know, yeah, I go back to the observation car. The other thing is all your meals are included in the price. So I had, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, breakfast. I can go to the bar car, I can go to the observation car, I can do all that stuff. But I did like the fact that I could go back to my own bunk. The problem with the chair area is that it's all open. Some people are trying to sleep.
Yeah.
Some people are staying up all night.
Right.
So it's a mix.
Some people are playing Parcheesi. I mean, it's just it's a mess, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you're not allowed, if you're in the cheap seats, you're not allowed to walk into the expensive cars, right?
You're not allowed to go up to the sleepers, but you can go and get a meal at the dining car.
You but if you're invited up to a sleeper, you could be accompanied by someone who has a sleeper ticket, right?
Yeah, you know, the thing is there's an attendant in each car, so, you know, if suddenly there's somebody that's in there, you know, when it shows that there's one person.
You didn't pay your freight.
Right.
Have you seen those cars that look like cocoons?
A cocoon car.
A cocoon car, yeah. The people just kind of slide in. They're like little cylinder things.
That doesn't sound fun if you've got...
like in Japan.
Yes,
if you're claustrophobic or if you have restless leg syndrome, that would be a bad thing.
Well,
what's weird with Amtrak is Amtrak's trains are basically all pretty much 1970s era, 80s rolling stock. And one of the things I always suggest to people, if you really want a really good train experience, is to go up to Canada and take the train from Vancouver across
to Banff, right?
I did that.
Yeah.
And they have 1950s rolling stock, mm-hmm. which is much nicer. Really nice dome cars, really nice, you know, it's back when people actually took the train.
And they don't make them like they used to.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't.
Yeah. You can actually sit outside.
A good time for cars or trains.
Yeah, well, that sounds like fun. Yeah. I got to do that. Gary, continued safe travels to you, sir, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's great. And, you know, you do pull in feeling a lot more relaxed than going to an airport.
That's good to know. Yeah, I got to try it.
Take care, okay? Talk to you next week.
All right, you will. Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. There he goes. That's our travel guy. Didn't think we'd be able to find him
today.
That's
good. I take the Angel train.
The Angel train?
Yeah.
What is that?
To the Angel games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a lot easier.
Yeah. All right. I've taken a couple of trains. I don't mind them so much.
$7 back and forth.
Oh, that one. If you travel from the South Orange County mm-hmm. in California
to
up to Anaheim, where the Angels play.
That's right.
Yeah. And then if it's an extra innings game, how do you get home?
They wait for you.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Wow.
Yes.
That's the only way they can get people to go to Angels games is to give them a train.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Will you come see the Angels?
Hey,
here? We'll give you
I've
a
got
ride.
An idea for a baseball promo night, Greg. It's head transplant night.
Oh, you remember
and
head
that's
transplant guy?
Coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and it's time for sex news.
Yay!
A woman in England was stuck in traffic recently, so she whipped out her vibrating love toy. And passed the time by taking care of herself, so to speak. But when traffic started moving again, she accidentally crashed her vehicle into a truck.
What's good here is she was not on her cell phone at the time.
Right.
Because texting and cell phoning while driving is bad.
By the way, the truck was carrying fish. I don't know what that means, but it's part of the story.
She was driving a Mini Cooper.
Oh, okay.
She drove her Mini Cooper
into a fish truck.
Into a fish truck.
And they have video, too.
A guy in Pennsylvania. No, I'm going to save this one for last. a lesbian couple in Florida broke up this weekend. As one of them was moving out, they got in an argument over who would keep a sex toy. One of the women hit the other in the face with it, and she was arrested for domestic battery. Now to the guy in Pennsylvania who flew to Arizona last week to have sex with a miniature horse.
Like you do.
But it was, in fact, an undercover cop. He was arrested for intention of committing bestiality and is looking at up to a year in prison.
The horse was a cop?
Apparently, and I think they were trading emails and texts.
So he was texting with what he thought was a horse.
At what point do you realize miniature horses probably aren't all that great at texting? That can't be,
you know.
It ends up being a button mash when you use those hooves.
The predictive text, it straightens it all out.
I could say a Mr. Ed joke right now, but I won't.
Could you? All right, so... back to promo night at the old ballpark. Show up tonight and get two head transplants for one.
If you
bring a friend.
Oh, yeah, that's where we left off, huh?
Yes.
You remember head transplant doctor, right?
Yes, I do. The guy thinks he can do it.
Yeah, we talked about him before, Dr. Canavero.
Yes.
And he's convinced that he can transplant a head onto another body. Well,
which
he found
which
a guy,
will be called a Canavero when they get it come around ultimately
did
doing
you get
it.
The Canavero?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh. But they found a guy that's willing to, he wants his head transplanted.
Wow.
Apparently he has some degenerative muscle disease.
Oh, so he's going to wait for a donor.
Well, no, he's like, the doctor says he can do it by 2017. And this guy's like, I'm your guy. My body's crap.
So he's got the head.
He's going to donate his head.
Please. Is that what you're going to say?
He's got the head.
His name is Valery Spiridonov.
He's just looking for a body.
He's Russian.
And he says, yes, we are making science. And he wants to be part of science. So the doctor says, what we're going to do is we're going to cool the guy's head with ice to help the brain survive once it's cut off from the blood supply, right?
Yeah,
then
right.
The head will be cut off, reattached to the donor body in different stages. Okay, here's the stages. The biggest challenge, as you might imagine, fusing the spinal cord, something that's never been achieved before in the history of medical science.
Yeah.
But Dr. Canavero here is going to drench the two ends of the cord in a chemical called polyethylene glycol.
No, I've got some of that.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, is antifreeze?
Yes, exactly. Right? That's what I mean. I've got some of that.
Right. That's antifreeze, which he thinks may encourage the fatty sheath around the nerve cells to stick together. Hopefully, for Mr. Spirinanov's sake, the blood vessels and muscles would then be stitched into place, and then he'd spend time 4 weeks or so in an artificial coma to immobilize his head, and then he'll be walking within a year. So there we go, head transplant guy.
Sounds like a long shot to me.
My neck is hurting me all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So if anybody has a body, if you would like a body transplant, like you don't like your head, like you wake up in the morning, and you're like, oh, wow, this.
But
is
you would have to have that. No, it's like that brain would go with that body. You
yeah,
have
that's
a
right. And some guys don't have great brains, like this guy in Colorado. They had a Renaissance fair. You know what that is, right? Renaissance
fair.
Huzzah!
Yes, I do.
A guy stole a sword, or as they would say there, a sword.
Sword.
And this happened this weekend at the Renaissance Fair in Colorado, and then he tried to run off with the sword, but a woman in a wench costume.
I love like the wenches.
Tackled him.
Yep.
Put him in a headlock. Mm-hmm. No doubt had some of that wenchiness.
A busty beer wench.
Right around the head lock as well. And held him until the cops got there.
She must have been one big woman.
Yeah, it's cool medieval punishment right there.
Wow.
Right? They should put him on the rack.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, they have those. They have the stocks at the... Have you been to the... You've been to a Ren fair, right?
I have. In fact, I threw an axe or something at
sure,
at
you
a target.
Do like you do. Yeah.
And I missed the target by a long shot.
Oh, really?
Was anybody hurt?
No.
Okay, all right.
Just my feelings.
All right.
Watch this, honey.
Huzzah! Boom!
Yeah, right.
We're
sorry, Steve.
Now.
That didn't go 3 feet. Oh, man. You know who probably could throw a mean axe and impress any number of his 12 wives?
No.
Is Larry King.
No.
And you've got a thing for Larry King.
I got it.
Somehow.
Do you have like a weird King fetish? Is that
no,
it?
I
Kelly,
was...
all of a sudden, she's pulled a really old story out of the vault and somehow has a visceral reaction to Larry King's connection with what?
The Squatty Potty.
A what?
Have you heard of it?
No.
I have, but explain it to Greg.
Well, what is it?
I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said, he listened to this radio commercial, and I couldn't believe that Larry King would blend his
endorsing it.
He's endorsing the Squatty Potty.
Yeah.
And it's just like this plastic thing that you put around your toilet, and you put your legs
on it. It elevates you above the seat.
Exactly. And so basically they're saying that the human body wasn't meant to sit on a toilet to do the number two.
Yeah, so like when the new family moves into the neighborhood and they have grandma from old country, she squats in the front yard until somebody tells her that's not allowed out here.
Plastic... See, the American toilet is designed for reading magazines is what I say. But anyway, okay.
This plastic thing is you step on it and it makes you squat.
Yeah.
It puts you in the squatting position.
And is apparently more efficient for
exactly.
Bowel so he's endorsing.
So is it number one or number two?
Number two.
It is number two. Okay, yeah. I forgot. So, yes, he's endorsing this.
But, see, I'm thinking a guy like that, you don't want to start the squatty potty when you're 75 because you have to have some balance.
Exactly.
And a fair amount of leg strength. You want to start when you're young so that it becomes second nature to you.
Right, right. But 75?
But a guy like Larry King, if he gets up on that squatty potty, he could break a hip.
Have you heard?
And his suspenders get all tangled up and then just
oh,
bad
the
things.
Mess.
Oh, the humanity.
Who's
going
to clean this up? Does he have a nurse?
Just listening to it was fun. I mean, you have to hear it.
So, is the caller there? Walla walla.
Well, think for a moment. Who would be the ideal spokesperson for Squatty Potty?
Not Larry King.
Well, no, we know that. But is somebody young and sexy?
Yes. Haven't you seen the poopery?
No.
You haven't seen poopery?
What is that?
What is this? What fresh hell is this?
It's a spray that you spray in the toilet. And when you drop your business, mm-hmm. it goes into the toilet and it prevents the smell to come
up. Oh, it's an oil that makes a film on the top
exactly,
of the water.
It makes it so that you don't have any smell come up.
That's
and
right.
There's a woman, a gorgeous woman, who's sitting on the toilet talking about this.
Oh.
And it's rather comical.
Yeah. All right.
Poopery.
And is she clearly, are her knickers around her ankles while she's on the toilet?
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Quite right there.
Yeah.
God bless the USA.
And she's really pretty, too. So she really sold it. I bought some.
You bought some poopery? Does it
really?
Work?
No, girls don't poop. Come on, don't.
No, it was for my guests.
Oh, for your guests.
My male guests that
okay,
come
but
over.
Yeah, girls, as we all
smelly.
Know.
We don't sweat
girls,
either.
Girls do not poop.
No, we don't sweat.
All right, so what have we learned today? We learned that maybe it was a bad idea having Kelly here.
Show is taking a really new direction there, Phil.
Yeah, and the music means that we're just about done here. So we have survived, and if you have a comment or two or 12, go ahead, go to our website, philhewlettandfriends.com, click the contact button in the menu area.
Are you going to put in a complain button? Can you put that in?
No, we don't need to. There's our Twitter account. At Faf Show, that's PHAF, like Phil Hewlett and Friends Show. Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Listen to us on iTunes. Thanks for leaving a review. Leave us a voicemail on the website. It's free. Just click the blue tab. Our executive producer is Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson. Our music, our theme song, is performed and composed by Russ Monson. For Kelly, for Gonzo, I'm Phil. Talk to you next time.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.